is Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
Matthew 5:6, Jesus from the Sermon on the Mount said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." There's coming a day when we who hunger and thirst for righteousness, it'll come. Right now we live in a world that's just so confusing. But there's a day coming. Keep hungering for it. Keep thirsting for it. Keep feeding on the Word of God and letting Him renew you day by day. Keep letting Him transform you and change you. You're going to be discouraged. The world is just that way. We're in the world. We're just not of it. But there's a day coming, and take hope in this. There's a day coming when righteousness will reign.
Do you hunger and thirst for righteousness? As a believer, you should. There will be trials and discouraging days in this world, but don't give up. God's Word says to take heart, for He has overcome the world. Pastor Troy will also encourage you today to remember that you are in the world, but not of the world. Now, make sure and stay with us after Pastor Troy's message. I want to share our contact information, as well as how you can receive a free copy of this broadcast. Now, here's Pastor Troy with today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock.
We ought to be caring about and caring for those who want to get sure footing. Lifting them up. Pointing them in the right direction, not letting them become dependent on you. There's that sense. Our culture's built in people the sense of, if I can find someone, I'll leech onto them and depend on them. We cannot do that. We cannot allow that. But we help them by teaching them to fish, teaching them. And then if they don't want to do that, then we just have to kind of turn them over. But we ought to assist them in getting on their feet and showing them the right direction, helping them, caring for them. It's an important thing, caring for others, because there are so many people in the world that we can be quick to point to and judge for the way they act or what they do or don't do. But what we don't know is what has hurt that person. What has caused that person to see things that way, or to get so defensive, or to be the way that they are, to be so fragile? What has done that? And though it doesn't do away or make right how they've responded to it, it does mean that everyone we deal with is a hurting person. They've been hurt somewhere. I can look back at my own life and remember I could have made some different decisions if I had responded different ways to certain things that happened in my life, and I don't know what I would have been. Dead, for all I know. So we've always got to keep in mind we are dealing with hurting people. When people want to seek the Lord and they want to grow, we need to assist them and help them out. They're God's people, and He's called us to that. Not to isolate, separate, and not get messy, but to remember that while we're in the mess, we're in the world, we're just not of it. You're in it, not of it, and to help. An error that we need to avoid in reading this scripture is that it's works here that make you righteous. This group did works. They helped people. They did to the poor. They did. Makes them righteous. The other group didn't do it. Not righteous. That's not what this is talking about at all. No one can be saved or even keep their salvation by works. No one looks better by doing any kind of a work. But when the Holy Spirit fills someone, there's this new identity in your life. Works, then, begin to flow from your life. Compassion, caring about others rather than just about yourself. You know, to think, well, I can do this. What do they think about me? Why do I have to? Why me? To have that mindset is not the Lord. That's not the Lord. But to consider others. To deny ourselves certain things that are, yes, our freedom. I'm free to do this. I'm free to do that. But to say that and not care about if you're going to stumble anyone or what's going on in their lives is not godly. It's not right. It's selfish. But as we grow in the Lord, we begin to, as Paul said, put aside the things that, well, they're not expedient in helping me become more Christ-like. To put aside the things that, you know what? Yeah, we're free, but it just keeps causing others to stumble. That's growing in the Lord. That's what happens in the heart of someone filled by the Holy Spirit of God. See, when you're filled with the Spirit of God, when God comes into your life and He becomes part of your life, you may have thought at one time Christians were weird. Those Christians are strange people. But then a transition takes place. You kind of begin to grow. And then at some point, you begin to think, Christians are the only sane ones. I went from them being weird to, actually, they're the only sane ones in the world. It's a weird transition. It's one that God does in our life. Purity and righteousness. They once seemed a little extreme. I remember getting saved, giving my life to the Lord, and there was this guy, he was like a goody two-shoes guy. And I thought, you know, all right, I love the Lord, I'm in, you know, I love the Lord, but I'm not going to become like that. That's a little too extreme. I mean, that guy doesn't drink, doesn't do this, doesn't tell Joe, you know, like, that's just too much. And now, God changes you. What happens is you begin to hunger and thirst for righteousness. You hunger and thirst for it. You don't just slowly gravitate toward it. You actually go, man, I long for it. You go to places that you could have gone before and you go, man, I feel dirty. I feel weighed down. Lord, when will it be made right? Matthew 5:6, Jesus from the Sermon on the Mount said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. There's coming a day when we who hunger and thirst for righteousness, it'll come. Right now we live in a world that's just so confusing. But there's a day coming. Keep hungering for it. Keep thirsting for it. Keep feeding on the Word of God and letting Him renew you day by day. Keep letting Him transform you and change you. You're going to be discouraged. The world is just that way. We're in the world. We're just not of it. But there's a day coming, and take hope in this. There's a day coming when righteousness will reign, when God will make things right. And it's an awesome day. The big difference here in the sheep and the goats is that the sheep, when counted the righteous here, were simply willing to identify with Christ and His people. They were willing to help them, visit them in prison. They were willing to do all of these things, despite what it might cost them to do so. Now that's faith. The goats, they will be those who've taken the mark of the beast. They didn't house them. They didn't help them. They didn't visit. They shunned them. Get them out of here. No, they're with him? No. And they will not have helped. They were more concerned about fitting in, being in the world system, saving and preserving themselves. And that's their wickedness. It's not that they just wouldn't help people. There's more to it than that. This earthly kingdom is prepared for the sheep. In fact, as we said, it's the millennial kingdom. There'll be 1,000 years of Christ's reign in this kingdom. 1,000 years. It's that time where we've heard the stories. The lion will lay down with the lamb. A child can sit by a den of vipers and not be harmed. Oh, it's going to be a beautiful time. And there are going to be some who actually live physically in that time. It's an amazing time. Maybe that's kind of their reward for enduring the 7 years and surviving that and committing themselves to Him. There's a lot more to come after that, which is even more glorious. But there'll be that time. But look what happens to the goats, verse 41. Then He will also say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you did not take me in. Naked, you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into everlasting life. Everlasting punishment. Though this judgment isn't the final judgment, once you're judged, it's over. The condemnation is upon you. And so though at this time they are sent to the same place, all the others waiting the final judgment go, he gives them their final judgment. You're going into everlasting punishment. You could say the selfish or the self-preservationists will not enter the kingdom of heaven because they would not identify with Christ or his people. No major sins are listed here when God makes this separation. Did you notice that? They just didn't identify with Christ. They wouldn't. And as they ask this question as if, hey, when did we not do that? In their mind, maybe they helped their brother. Maybe they helped this person. They just wouldn't help his brethren. They would help people, but not if it meant identifying with them. He said, well, you didn't do it to my brethren. You didn't do it to the least of these. You didn't do it to me. No major sins are listed. It's a matter of who they were willing to identify with. In Acts, in the early church, when many became believers, there was a persecution that broke out. And to become a believer when Christianity first swept the area, you lost everything and you became one of the persecuted. You lost your job, especially in and around Jerusalem, because all the jobs seemed to revolve around the work of the temple. And so they shunned you. And you went from maybe having a good job, a good position, to having nothing in a moment. And so when Paul, on his last missionary journey, starts talking about the giving to the poor, I'm taking up an offering for the poor in Jerusalem, he's not talking about we're just humanitarian aid for poor. He's talking specifically about those who are of the brethren, those who are being persecuted, who've lost everything for the cause of following Christ. Taking up that collection, and God bless you for being a part of that. There was a clear separation in Acts. You had to leave everything. There was no, you're a Christian? I didn't know that. Oh, wow. No, they knew you're a Christian because your family told them, my son is dead. No longer one of us. Well, what happened? He's a Christian. No doubt. No doubt that person was a Christian. So there was a heavy persecution. There was a clear separation. And in the tribulation, it seems there is going to be a clear separation during that time. Those who are willing to identify with Christ, identify with his people at that time, now it's difficult. Now you're in the minority. But then it will take great faith. In Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 through 39, therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I came to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will be those of his own household. We've been spared all of this kind of separation, but it's coming. And he says, and he who does not take his cross and follow after me, or actually, he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it. He who loses his life for my sake will find it. If all you think about is you, right now, All you worry about is preserving yourself, protecting you. You're not going to take great steps or stands because you are only concerned about you. That's not the heart of God. Jesus said, "They will know you are my disciples by your love for one another." You love my people. You love to gather with my people. John chapter 15, verses 12 through 14. "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You're my friends if you do what I command you." That kind of a love and a burden for one another, for God's people. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself." The idea is that we're looking out for each other. We care for each other. We do what we do for others. Bob prepares that coffee. He puts the right amount of this and froth and foam and time and love and energy into the cup because he loves you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And I'm telling you that in twofold here. One, that's what he should do. Two, I think that's what he does do. Our worship ministry, they practice, they put in the time, they sacrifice, they do what they got to do because they want to love you, give you quality worship. I put in the time, not to sound like a good teacher. One, I want to know that it's right. I don't want to teach heresy. I have that fear, you know. So I want to make sure that we're accurate. But I do it because I want you to have a good church that you can be proud of. I want to be a good teacher. I want to have a good worship team. I want to have great coffee, but not because I want to have great things, because I love you and I want you to have great things. These aren't important, but loving each other with our gifts, with what we have, that's very important. And so I want to use the gifts. During the tribulation, they will love each other, God's people. They'll have to be in hiding, but they'll love each other in a way maybe we can't even fathom today. In fact, in many countries today, they have that same kind of love for each other because they are full aware, because of the persecution in that nation, all we have is each other. And if you're ever in a situation where it's not, "I'm going to hang with these guys, I'm going to go over here, I'm going to do this," and you know, there's just this, "Yeah, oh, hey, brother," and you're just all over the place, there's not a sense of that connection. But when all you have is each other and you know the world is persecuting and it's nice to be around somebody who loves the Lord, there's a connection that takes place that is unlike any. It's like being in a war. They realize they're in a war together. In this country, it's easy to forget that we're in a war together. That there is an enemy who wants to look at the weak and take them down. If you struggle with security, he wants to make you insecure. He wants you to take things wrong. He wants you to destroy yourself by yourself. He'll do whatever he can. We are in a war. We're not fighting each other. There's an invisible enemy. And we need to learn that. And we need to support rather than tear each other down. Now, we may be in a country where it's easy to forget we're in a war, but you know what? Things are changing. There's separation going on. They're changing fast. This text is not about doing works, visiting people in prison, although all of these things are things the Lord would have us do, and it's his heart. But specifically, the text is about choosing sides. Identifying with the right side, identifying with Christ and his people. In the tribulation, it seems that Israel will be a nation God uses to separate, to make a clear separation, like during the Holocaust when that happened, and so many helped the Jews and got in trouble for that. People will not help them or identify with them because the whole world will be against them. They will be seen as the problem. Today, we choose sides also. We do it by denying ourselves, picking up our cross, and following after Jesus. We deny ourselves, and we care about others. We become the shoulders of Jesus, the tears of Jesus, the heart that he wants to demonstrate for others. If you're not doing that, if you're not pouring into people with that sense of responsibility, then you're not fulfilling all that God has given you. Maybe you're doing what you should be doing. Maybe you're serving, but you don't have the right heart in your service. And there's a big difference. One's getting a job done. That's frustrating. The other is ministering to people through service. And it's a perspective that we need to have. Let me close with this story. It's about a kid named Chad. And I think it captures the right heart of the kind of caring that God wants his children to have. This is a great story. I don't think it's a true story, but it's a great story. Illustration. Little Chad was in grade school. He wasn't part of the in-group. In fact, the thing about Chad, his mother noticed, is that when the kids were walking home from school, he was always behind them. They didn't really accept him. They'd laugh and they'd get along with each other, but Chad was always left out, excluded. Chad came home from school, and it was almost Valentine's Day. In a few weeks, it would be Valentine's. He announced to his mother that he wanted to make Valentine's Day cards for all 35 students in his class, but not just buy them. He wanted to by hand make each one special. She thought, ugh, I wish he wouldn't, because he probably won't get one back. It's just going to hurt him. He's going to invest. He's not going to get anything back. So they bought the supplies. She thought, I love my son. Let's do it. They bought the supplies. For 3 weeks, every night, every single night, he devoted his time to making individual cards, all 35 of them. It was Valentine's Day. He bolted out the door, excited to give out the cards. His mother knew his heart, knew that it would be broken afterwards, so she made some special cookies and some milk for him, thinking that at least they could enjoy this together. At the end of the day, she sees Chad coming home. Same thing, kids as usual. He was behind them. They were in a group having fun, laughing, and he was still alienated. He walked toward the door. He opens the door, closes the door, and she's thinking, oh my goodness, this is going to be a hard one. He probably didn't even get one. In fact, she heard him as he started crossing the floor, rushing off to his room, saying, not one, not even one. So she called him. She said, honey, I have some cookies and some milk for you. He didn't say a word. He came out and he said, Mom, he came out really excited. Can you believe it? I didn't forget even one person. See, Chad was not thinking about himself or what he would get. He was only concerned with others. I'm a selfish person. I think we all are a little selfish. We need to be more like Chad. Why? Why can we do that? Because our pastor cried and emotionally sold us on it. No, because we know that God will take care of us. We don't have to take care of us. We don't have to get everything out of this life. We don't have to force everyone else to care about us. We know that God will do that. We can do like Chad and just think about the others. I didn't forget about one. God help us to choose the right side, to be more thoughtful, to be more Christ-like.
In this day and age in which we live, it's easy to get distracted by everything that's going on around us. The hustle and bustle of life tends to keep us from the things that are truly important as followers of Christ. While there's simply no substitute for the personal reading of God's Word, programs like Building on the Solid Rock are a huge blessing that God uses in the discipleship of countless people. Building on the Solid Rock is the radio ministry of Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel Solid Rock in San Antonio, Texas. For more information about our ministry or to access the archive of messages, log on to our website at buildingonthesolidrock.com. You can subscribe to our podcast while you're there or search for us in the iTunes store under Calvary Chapel Solid Rock. It's absolutely free. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Thank you for joining us. We invite you to join us again next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through the Gospel of Matthew. That's next time on Building on the Solid Rock.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow in Him. Come have your way in us.
Come have